There are a lot of things that I'm really enjoying about being here in Australia. And did you notice the I went up at the end of that sentence? I'm getting there, aren't I? And apart from you generous, lovely people, because you're really very generous, and if it's any kind of indicator, I have lots of cake tins left in our office, according to how generous you are. And I'm giving me cakes, and I forget whose tin is whose. So if I have a tin, please come and see me, won't you? Of yours. I don't want you to be upset by that. But you are very, very generous people, and we're really grateful to all of you. I'm enjoying the beautiful scenery as well. Got some amazing, amazing places that we've seen already. And there are some very simple pleasures too. And I call them pleasures, but Stephen doesn't. Because you see, as well as beaches, which are beautiful, I quite like making the most of all the shopping centres. You know, Katara's my favourite. Charlestown, Charlestown. Oh, I can't choose, actually. Charlestown is quite good too. Anyway, that's sort of the world, isn't it? You'd think I'd be above that, wouldn't you? But I'm not saying that the UK don't have shopping centres, but I quite like the ones here. And so I've been shopping and I've bought some trousers. Extravagance, hey? And I've always bought regular length trousers. I buy regular length trousers in the UK. And but I seem to have shrunk in height since I've been here. And I've had to buy trousers that weren't just short trousers, but I've had to buy trousers that are very short. And I find that quite offensive. I thought I was quite tall. I used to be the tallest in my class at school. Okay. Yeah, I went to a short school, I guess. But I'd never, ever thought of myself as short. Because we have a green gene in my family. We mostly people are quite tall in my family. But I kind of missed out. And some of us aren't very good at self-awareness. Because I always thought I was one of those tall people. And it's evident that I'm not. But in helping us to think about self-awareness this morning, if you'd like to open your Bible with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Oh, Hannah wants a baby. So 1 Kings chapter 22. And I'm reading from verse 1. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his officials, "Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? And yet we're doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram." So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me and fight against Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First, seek the counsel of the Lord." And so we read on that the king consulted with around 400 prophets. And the prophets all said, "Yes, go to war with Ramoth-Gilead." And they tell the king that God will grant him victory. And then Micaiah, who was God's man, was also consulted. And he says, if we go to verse 19, Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven, standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' 'By what means?' the Lord said. 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets,' he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord had put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. The Lord had decreed disaster for you. And then verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you will wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, surely this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him, but when Jehoshaphat cried out, the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel and stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the breastplate and the scale armor. The king told his chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of this fighting. I've been wounded. All day long the battle raged, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down onto the floor of the chariot, and that evening he died. As the sun was setting, a cry spread through the army, everyone to your own town, everyone to your land. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried him there. Bit of a gory story, isn't it? But the prophets, as we see in those verses, the prophets had a prominent place in political life. And we see in this passage that they were consulted on a matter of utmost importance for the life of the state. And you might want to read the whole passage through at some point. Now, Micaiah was a bit of a top-notch prophet. He said, as we see in this chapter, I will only say what the Lord tells me to say. And the lesser prophets, 400 of them, said attack, and then they referred to the Lord. We don't always refer to the Lord first off, do we, sometimes? But Jehoshaphat knew that there was a difference between the pagan prophets and the prophet of the Lord, Micaiah. Evidently, Jehoshaphat wanted to do what was right, although Ahab didn't. However, both kings disregarded God's message and listened only to the pagan prophets. Well, the king didn't like Micaiah. He didn't like what Micaiah had told him. And I imagine his degree of sarcasm contributed to that too. We see Micaiah is a bit sarcastic if you read further. He ignored Micaiah and went with the opinion of the not so close to God 400 people. He went with the majority opinion. And if there was ever a time not to follow the crowd, the king really ought not to have done that. We can sometimes follow the crowd a bit too, can't we? But Ahab could not escape God's judgment. The king of Aram sent 32 of his best chariot commanders with the sole purpose of killing Ahab. So thinking he could escape, the king of Israel disguised himself and went ahead into battle. He disguised himself to try and outwit his fate. Ahab had been wearing heavy armor and died as a result of a random arrow, which by an unlucky chance found a chink in his armor. Pretty bad luck for King Ahab. Fully dressed in military uniform, he died. It's interesting, isn't it, that such a combination of an elaborate precaution against getting hurt. However, Ahab still carked it. And Jehoshaphat, though visibly royal, was not killed, and not because he ran away. But Ahab had been shot by a random arrow, and he died. And so things had to look normal. Things had to look as though they were all okay. And verse 35 tells us, the battle raged all that day, and the king remained propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood ran down from his wound, down onto the floor of his chariot, and as evening arrived, he died. So things had to look normal. And to look normal, the king was sitting in agony and he was dying, and he was being paraded around in the chariot just to show the Armenians that everything was okay. He was sitting, doing nothing, pretending all was fine. That's of no use whatsoever, is it? I wonder how many of us actually live our lives like that sometimes, pretending that everything's fine. How are you today? Fine, thanks. But how many of us are sometimes a little like King Ahab? And how many of us sometimes go to extremes to look right, to look as though we're trying to be normal, to look as though we have got it all sorted? It was really foolish of King Ahab to think that he could escape by wearing a disguise. And sometimes people try to escape reality by disguising themselves, by doing various things that we may have done too, to try and to cover up things that we oughtn't cover up. Do we spend a degree of time trying to make sure that we have the right look of a follower of Christ? Do we give the impression to our friends and all who know us that our spiritual life has never been better, that our devotional life is okay? Spending a bit too much time, perhaps, on the outward appearance than the inner. Our Almighty God is more than able to cope with our honesty. We read in the Psalms from David, he's completely, completely honest. Sometimes if I have trouble praying, if I have trouble expressing myself, I go to the Psalms in prayer. And I can always depend on David, the psalmist, to be honest, to be brutally honest to God. And that sometimes helps me. But we too can be brutally honest with God about how we feel, because God is more than able of coping to cope with that. We can easily cry out to him, however we're feeling. I read this week of some travel agents who had received lots of complaints. Complaints of people who had been on holiday, and some of them write this. On my holiday to Goa in India, I was disgusted to find that almost every restaurant served curry. I don't like spicy food. They should not allow topless sunbathing on the beach. It was very distracting to my husband, who was just wanted to relax. We went on holiday to Spain and had a problem with the taxi drivers, as they were all Spanish. And I have a... I'm sorry. Here we go. The brochure stated no hairdressers at the resort. We're trainee hairdressers, and we think they knew and made us wait longer for service. It took us 9 hours to fly home from Jamaica to England. It took the Americans only 3 hours to get home, and that seems unfair. I think it should be explained in the brochure that the local convenience store does not sell proper biscuits like custard creams or ginger nuts. And they received some more interesting ones too. We like to complain, and God likes to hear all of our dialogue, whether they be complaints, whether they be cries out for help. God likes to hear our dialogue with him. And God can handle our complaints. He's more than able to handle our complaints. The important thing is that we need to be in dialogue and communicate with him, to call out to him, to cry out to him. He can handle our honesty. It could appear that we might try and appear that we are sorted on the outside, but actually, like Ahab, we could be dying on the inside. And in order to prevent spiritual death, we do need to face the facts, the truth, God's truth, that is, because the world's truth isn't truth. The world says lots of things that are lies. God is the truth. And you know that God knows your heart. You know that God knows the truth. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. His truth can speak life into us. Today, for you, it could be simply be that you need to sit in his presence and allow him to speak truth over your life and into your life today. Or it could be that just like Micaiah, the prophet, did so, we may need to stand up and to be counted. You see, Micaiah was not going to be manipulated by their big guys. He stood up to them. They were in great force. There were 400 prophets who were disagreeing with Micaiah. But he stood up to them and he said, I can only tell you what God tells me. We too need to stand up and to be counted. And it could be that you are going through a situation at the moment where you simply need that courage of God's truth in your life to stand up and to be counted. Puppet or prophet? Well, Micaiah wasn't prepared to be a puppet, and God hasn't created his children to be either. To be a child of God often means that we need to stand out from the crowd like Micaiah. His fate was to be left in prison. You see, standing up and being counted often isn't the popular route or the comfortable route. May God speak his truth into us. May God speak his life into us. And may we allow God to reveal his truth to us. And his truth is that he loves you and he values you and he accepts you, whatever the world says. We thank God because of his son Jesus, we're able to have new life in him. And we're going to pray together right now. Father, if we've been a bit dead, we pray that you would ignite our passion for you again. We pray that you would breathe your breath into those situations that we're having problems with seeing your truth in. Help us to know that you are the only way to truth. Father God, help us to see you with fresh eyes. May your truth illuminate within us. Because it's only when we face the truth and reality, when we acknowledge what we need to change and to ask your help to do that, that we see you, that we fully see your truth, and we want to worship you in all that we do, in your spirit and in your truth. We pray that today. Amen. The book of 1 Kings begins with a nation united under David, and the most devout king in Israel's history. The book ends with a divided kingdom and the death of Ahab, as we've just seen, the most wicked king of all. What happened? What happened through 1 Kings? The people forgot to acknowledge God as their ultimate leader. They appointed human leaders who ignored God, and then they conformed the lifestyles of those evil doers, of those evil leaders. Their occasional wrongdoing gradually turned to a way of life. As we sing and as we pray right now, I encourage you to turn your will, your life back to God. And it's a daily thing that we need to do. We each need to do to ensure that we are following him, his light, his truth. And it could be this morning that you simply need to bask in God's light and love. So we make time this morning for you to do that. For all of those distractions that are possibly here today, for all of those concerns that you've come with today, Just worship God in spirit and in truth and allow him to speak to you. Just allow this time to be your space where you communicate fully with him.